had a mom and daddy that brought me to church. And I heard some of the best preaching ever walked in shoe leather. Joe Parsons and Billy Kelly and all them people preached to me, spit on me and sweated on me. Shares of blessings is what that is.
Yeah, that's right.
And I got in. Thank God for that. Well, we're going to try to sing this. You pray for us as we try to sing this song.
Each time I stop and take the time to look around me, I see the signs of His appearing everywhere. The things He said would come to pass are now before us. And I feel a strange excitement in the air. Just any day now, our Lord is coming. He'll be returning for you and me. Oh, I've been watching. Just any day now, His face I'll see. Oh, there's a longing in my heart for His appearing. I'll gladly leave behind these trials here below. For this journey has been long and I'm so weary, but Lord, somehow I feel I'm so much closer home. Just any day now, our Lord is coming. He'll be returning for you. And I've been waiting. Just any day now, His face I'll see. Oh, I've been watching. And I've been waiting. Just any day now, His face I'll see.
Here's what we're going to do tonight. Get your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 22. And we'll read some scripture there in a minute. Matthew chapter 22. Tonight, I'm going to say a few things about the bus ministry. And it's been a while since I preached about the bus ministry. And everybody in our church ought to be involved in the bus ministry. Now, I've heard people say, well, the bus ministry is not for everybody. Well, you listen to what I mean by that. I mean, if you're not a bus worker or a bus captain or a bus driver, you can be a prayer warrior, you can be a financial supporter, you can help with kids at church, and that way everybody helps. A lady told me one time, she said, Brother Danny, this has been a long time ago over in the old building, she said, Brother Danny, I just ain't coming to church no more on Sunday morning. She said, I love your preaching. And she said, I love the church, but she said, I can't stand all them kids running around all over, stomping on my feet. I can't go to the bathroom. They're everywhere you go. And I was real nice. I was nice as I could be. But I want to say, lady, you are a self-centered. The whole world don't revolve around you. And you are not the most important thing in the world. And if we're saved and on our way to heaven, we ought to bend a little bit for a little boy or a little girl that needs God. And I'm telling you, the Lord burdened my heart many, many years ago for the bus ministry. Do you know why churches don't have bus ministries? Because it's expensive and it's a lot of work. If they're not an asset, they are a liability. And brother, I've always had a burden. It would absolutely break my heart if we couldn't run them buses. You'd be surprised at the churches that are quitting. Gas is going to $5 a gallon. It's pushing that now. You wait and see. Wait and see. After this election, we're going to get clobbered. You wait and see. I hope and pray I'm wrong, but I guarantee you I probably ain't. We're going to get clobbered. And diesel will go way on up there. But I believe if there's a God in heaven, and you know what I mean when I say that, if there's a God in heaven who took care of us this far, He'll take care of us the rest of the way. And I believe in the bus ministry. Here in Matthew chapter 22 tonight, I want you to look at some scripture here. And Matthew chapter 22, and it's a parable here the Lord gave here, and I'll say just a thing or two about it. Matthew chapter number 22, and look at verse, oh my goodness. Matthew 22 and verse number 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, that's soul winners, people that knock on doors, people that witness, and said, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it. Boy, isn't that what people are doing today? Making light of it. You say, you come to church? Oh, I ain't got time for that. You want to go to church? You're silly. You waste your time going to church. Are you crazy? They made light of it. Most people today, when you talk to them about God, make light of it. They sure do. And the Bible's come to pass right on the button there. They made light of it. Look at what he said. And went their ways. That's what people are doing. One to his farm, and another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servant and treated him spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. He's mad. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden are not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways. That's Interstate 40, Highway 70, 18, 64, up these roads up and down Drexel and Valdez. That's what he said. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, bus workers, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. There ain't no telling what you're liable to get in the bus ministry. Amen. Both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Now tonight, I don't have an outline, but I'm going to say a few things and just pour my heart out to y'all. I want us to have a day on those buses. He's talking about all them kids got saved. That next week, we could absolutely have twice that many kids on them buses. I mean, you teenagers, you young people, you mamas and daddies, you know what would be a good way to visit? The whole family, husband and wife. You know, husband and wife, y'all want to do something together as a couple to strengthen your relationship? Come Saturday morning, get you some of these. Let's go out. Pick your street over here in Valdez. Go over here down there at Sin City, where they go down there and visit. Down there, Brian, John, they all know where Sin City is over here in Valdez. And you can take a place, take some of these, and just go right down through there. And just say, hey, we're having a big day. Have you heard the world's supposed to come to an end on the 21st? My pastor's going to preach about it tomorrow. You come tomorrow, and you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. I want to say this evening, ladies and gentlemen, we need to get busy for God, because we are running out of time. I don't believe the Lord's coming in December 21st, and I don't believe the end of the world's coming December 21st. It might be October 21st. It may be a lot sooner. So tonight, we're gonna do that. Now, I'm going to say a few things about it this evening, show you a little clip of video here, and then we're going to have a meeting tonight. I'll never forget, we had a lady in Marion years ago, and this lady didn't have an education, never been to college, never had a lot of formal training or anything like that. But I tell you what she had a burden. She had a burden. God would rather you have a burden and not know as much than to know everything and know how right you are and how righteous you are and how wonderful you are and not have a burden for sinners. The Lord wants you to have a burden for sinners. You know what she done? She got a burden for sinners. And boy, we was going to all work one day. She went out early that morning. She started knocking on doors. She started telling people about the Lord and stayed out all that day. This, I'd never heard of this before then. And buddy, that morning, that old bus come rolling in the church parking lot that morning. She had 106 people on that bus. I ain't talking about following it in cars. I'm talking about on the bus. I'm telling you, they come in there, they was hanging out the windows, they was little arms, and they was stuck in the aisles like that. She opened the door and about 20 fell out like that, right there. I'm telling you, I never seen the beat. You say, wasn't that illegal? I'm sure it was. Well, I didn't know she was going to do it, and I didn't fuss at her neither. I said, hallelujah, praise God, amen. The laws of God overrule the laws of man there. And but anyway, boy, we had the office time at 106 kids on a bus. I couldn't believe it. I said, hallelujah, thank God, thank God, thank God. Now there's one way to do that. You got to do two things to do that. You got to have a prayer burden, and you got to be willing to work. I'll never forget years ago, back before I was ever even a pastor, I had a friend of mine who had a burden for Marion. And we used to meet, and we'd talk once in a while, and this was an elderly gentleman. He was a Presbyterian, but he was a godly man. I used to know some people in Marion, some of the old-time Presbyterians. I mean, they were godly people. Loved the Lord. And this guy, he had a burden. And me and him would sit down and talk, and he'd say, I want to see people saved, Danny. So me and him and some other guys, we met up in Marion, and they divided off the city in sects like East Marion, West Marion, Cross Cotton Mill over there in Stump Town, and over on different sides of Marion. And we said, you're going to take that section, we're going to take this section, we're going to take the other section. And I'd never done that before. I'd visited a little bit. Me and him took some tracks like this, and we went out visiting. And we went door to door, didn't discriminate. It didn't matter. Dogs, I mean, scary looking, whatever. Knocked on the door. If nobody come to the door, we stuck one of them things in there. We prayed, went to the next door. Somebody came, hey, y'all go to church anywhere? We didn't have a church. I wasn't even a pastor. But we invited them to church. We said, you need to go somewhere. We went out. We done that till 12 o'clock that day. And I thought we was done. I thought, Lord in mercy, we've been out all morning doing this. He said, you want to go get a sandwich? I said, sure. He was about 40-something. I was about 19. And he said, you want to go get a sandwich? I said, yep. We went out there somewhere out of town, got us hamburger. He said, all right, you ready to go back? And I said, sure. I didn't know he was going back, but I thought, man, I felt like I'd be wicked if I said no. And so I said, okay, let's go. We went back and we knocked on doors, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, all day long. And I'm telling you, I'd never done that before, but you know what it was like? You know what it was like, men? You know what it was like, fellas? It was like we lifted weights all day long and drank I don't know, power shakes or muscle milk or something. And boy, he got strengthened. And I went to a singing that night over at Bethel Free Will Baptist Church. And people got up and started singing. And I'm telling you, I hadn't been saved that long. I'm telling you, that was the first time I ever really shouted in church was that night. And you know why? Because it was bubbling up in my soul. I'd been out doing something for God. I'd been out doing something for the Lord. Now, we don't shout because we do something for the Lord. But when you'll give your time and fast and pray and do something for God, it'll bubble up in your soul once in a while, and you'll get a blessing in church. You know why a lot of people don't get a blessing in church? Because they don't do nothing for God. And I have no heart for the things of God. You pray and you work and you witness all week long, and then seek God to save a bunch of kids in junior church. You might throw your leg up and go, woo! Once in a while, you can shout because of what God did. Amen. We got a burden. Tell you what you do. Some of our bus workers are having trouble. We've had 3 out of our 5 buses that tore up Sunday morning before last. 3 out of 5 come in here hobbling. We had one of them come in backwards the other Sunday. Reverse is only geared work. How redneck is that, buddy? Come up a hill backwards. Amen. But we got them here, and I believe the Lord's working. I talked to people. I mean, we prayed. We thought one of them was done yesterday, and it quit on the side of the highway again today, and the devil's attacking them. The devil hates them. It run perfect yesterday and wouldn't run today. And I
I'll tell you something the devil hates, but I'll tell you what I'm going to challenge everybody to do. You do this. Bus workers, let me put forth a challenge to you. We're going to pray. This is Sunday. We got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We're going to pray 15 minutes a day for your bus route. Get you a list on. Pray for every kid. Pray for every parent. And you pray 15 minutes a day. And then grab us a gang. We're going to have a gang going out on each route Saturday and say, glory to God, we're going to canvass this area. We're going to fill that bus up. And you watch God and see what God's going to do. Amen. Hey, listen, I don't believe in just laying down and letting the devil whip us. I don't believe we ought to just lay back and say, oh, well, we tried, I quit. Listen, there ain't no quit in me. You know that. I don't know the meaning of that word. I like what Jack Hiles always said. He said there's two words I don't believe in, quit and compromise. He said every time we get a new dictionary, he said I take the scissors, I turn to quit and compromise and cut them out. They both start with a K. You can find them both there together. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, he said I cut out quit and compromise. And I'm telling you tonight, listen, there can't be no quit in us. We can't quit. There's too many souls at stake. There's too many other little boys and girls, brother, that need God. We cannot quit the bus ministry. All right, where you at, Ron? Help me with the lights back there, man, or somebody. Get these lights, the choir lights, and then I want you to get these spotlights overhead here, and I'm going to show you just a little video clip of a lady who is now a Christian school teacher. Make sure the blue mic has still got volume on it. And I'm going to show you a little clip of a lady who is a Christian school teacher. Now, this video was made back in the 70s, but I want you to notice it. Let's see. Get that one off the middle one. That's bus kids. That's bus kids they're teaching how to sew.
El volante.
Don't forget that those are due
next Wednesday.
Listen to this testimony.
Well, in 1978, I was a senior in high school going to a military school, and the war between the Sandinistas and Somoza had started, and they were after juniors and seniors, and my father said that I couldn't go to school. So I said to my father, I have to go to school. If not, they will come to get me. And my father said, no, they're not. So my father found out that they were really taking the kids out of school, and he was going to protect me. I know that my dad being with him, he was going to protect me. So he said, you are not going to go to school. So the next day, I did not go to school, and I saw him that he started to move the furniture around in my mom's bedroom, and he started digging a hole under the bed. And so we were wondering what he was going to do. And he said, this is where you and all your brothers and sisters are going to be. So it was so, and the hole was down a big enough. He put mattresses and pillows and things on the hole. And he said, now you are going to stay here. And we were in that hole for 15 days. And sure enough, within 3 days after they were picking the kids out of school, they came to our house and they knocked on the door and they asked my father, we know you have two kids in our school. Where are they? So my father said they're out of town. But we were not out of town. We were hidden right underneath my mother's bed. And so they came into the house and they started throwing things around and looking for us. And they came into my mother's bedroom and they were walking around the bed. And we, the kids, we saw it. And they did not look under the bed. So we heard them go. We heard them going out. And my father said, you are going to go. And I said, Dad, I don't want to go without you. So my father said, sweetheart, you got to go. If not, you are in danger. So and I said, but Dad, where am I going to go? He said, my mother is sending an airplane ticket for you to fly over to the United States. And I said, but Daddy, I don't want to go with you. And he said, you got to go. So on Friday, December 5th, 1978, at 4 o'clock in the morning, my dad said, let's go. Let's get in the car. I'm taking you to the airport. Now, all the highways were covered with police, and on every highway was covered, and they were checking every car that was going out of the city, and not one time we were stopped. So we got to the airport. My plane was to leave at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we waited and waited, and finally it was time for me to go. I came to the United States to live with my grandmother, after 6 months of being with her, on a Saturday, we heard a knock on the door. And my grandmother told me, you never answer the phone or you never answer the door, because I didn't know English. And so I didn't go to the door, and there was the knock again. And I heard her talking with somebody, and I didn't know who it was at the time. And then she came to my room and she said, there is a man at the door that wants you to go to church with him. So I looked out the door, and there he was, a big, tall man, fat and heavy. And he said, I want you to go to church with me. And I said, no. My mother told me, you never go with a man that you don't know. So I said, no, I'm not going. Next Saturday, he came around again, and he said, I want you to go to church with me. And I said, no. And he kept on coming and coming and coming. One Saturday, I was washing the kitchen sink. He kept on coming by 6 or 8 Saturdays. And finally, one Saturday, I was washing the kitchen floor and playing in the soap. When I turned around, right in the door, there was Brother Moore on his knees crying and saying, please come to church with me tomorrow. So that Sunday morning, without even thinking about the time, I got up and got ready. I was on that bus. It was my very first Sunday to First Baptist Church.
Marie Schoening was saved at First Baptist Church. She graduated from City Baptist High School, then earned her degree in education from Hiles Anderson College. She is now teaching at Hammond Baptist High School. Drugs, alcohol, gangs, suicides. Where will our teens find the answers they so desperately need?
I've got news for you. Right here's the answer to your problem. Jesus is the answer. The Bible is the answer to your problem. And the Bible has the answer. We get to thinking that life's problems are so big that we can't solve them. Well, your problem might be big enough you can't solve it, but there's no problem in the world so big that Almighty God can't solve your problem.
Ronnie Rios was saved in a Bible club meeting at age 15. His life was a hard life, full of loneliness and heartaches. The Bible clubs gave him hope, friends, a place to belong, and a Savior who cared. Ronnie's life ended abruptly at age 17 when he jumped into a pond, broke his shoulder, and went into eternity. Thank God for the Bible clubs.
Don't be embarrassed. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. Would you come? There were some young men that raised your hands. Will you come? You just come, and we're going to take the Bible and show you how to know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. Amen. Good. Yeah, it takes a man. It takes a man. Brother Paul, won't you just come this way, and we're going to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Brother Paul, amen. Keep your head bowed and eyes closed, young people. Amen, that's good. Who else? Good, a young lady. Who else? There's another young man. A couple of you. You raise your hand. Come on, let us take the Bible and show you how. You say, I'm embarrassed. Oh, don't be embarrassed. God loves you. Come on. That's good. Come on. Good.
Miss Cynthia Warner, the Dean of Students at Hammond High School, was led to the Lord by a Bible club worker. Miss Warner tells the Bible club director, Jeff Owens, her feelings about the Bible club ministry.
I've talked to some of your people that are there, and they've told me they just have such a good time. I really don't think they're even realizing what a good experience they're having. They tell me they have fun, and they're learning about Jesus at the same time, which is a very good, it keeps them out of trouble with gangs and
yes, ma'am,
all those other things that they're having to deal with in this crazy mixed up world today.
Oh, clap your hands.
What you're seeing there is the Bible clubs that their church does with just bus kids, with bus people. They have bus ministry for the junior churches for deaf people and Spanish people and all kinds. If I can get another one of these things here, I wanted to show you another clip here just a second. And to do that, I'll take this out and try it back in. That's why the devil fought Jack Hiles, people. That's why the devil tried to smear them, because they reached down into Satan's territory and snatched out boys and girls. This is a spiritual battle that you and I are in. We are in a war. We're in a fight. And I tell you what, let me just show you just a little bit this evening of one of these. Amen. Just a second here. Amen. Hallelujah. If I can get the right button here. I'm not used to... Watch just a little bit of this, and it'll excite you.
You are a possibility, you are a promise.
Remember that little song?
With a capital P. You are a great big bundle of potentiality.
Yeah, man, that's exciting, isn't it?
Hallelujah. And if you listen, you'll hear God's voice. And if you're trying, He'll help you make the right choice, as you're a promise to be.
Lord, we thought our bus was so.
He wants you to be.
That's 1949.
Hey, you know something? It doesn't matter what your name
up
is,
a bit, folks.
Where you live, who your daddy is, or how big you are, or what you look like. Hey, what do you look like? Are you short? Tall? Are you fat? Skinny? Got holes in your tennis shoes or freckles on your nose? It doesn't matter one bit. You can be exactly what God wants you to be.
Yep, man.
And He has something very special in mind for you. It might be climbing mountains or sailing the sea, helping the sick people get well, or singing a song. Whatever it is, you can do it.
Right.
I have a simple philosophy about the bus ministry. I believe there are just a few things that every bus captain must do in order to be successful. First of all, you should love your riders. Show them, tell them, and let them know definitely that you love them.
Amen.
You should be excited about working a bus route.
Listen to this.
Many folks go to work on a bus route, and the problem is they work good for a while, and then they lose that first love. Don't ever get over the excitement you have
Amen.
About working on a bus route.
That's right.
The third thing is visitation. We've got to get out and visit. And visit, and visit. If you visit 3 hours, you'll have a 3-hour bus route. If you visit 8 hours, you'll have an 8-hour bus route. You'll have the return of the investment that you put into it. Another thing is service. We're in the business of meeting the needs of the bus riders, and that simply means that we have to be of service to them. With a program on the bus, meeting them at the door, that sort of thing. Keeping everything hopping on Sunday. Service their needs. One thing that's important also is promotion. You do not build a bus route by promotion. You build it by all of these other things, but promotion adds to it. And one of the last thing, of course, is persistence. Get out there and stay out there and stay with it until Jesus Christ comes again.
With the bus ministry, you reach hundreds of people that ordinarily you...
Amen. All right, turn it up. Turn the lights up just a little bit, brother. Now, you know, these people have done this for many, 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 many years, and they know what they're doing. So I'll take advice. If a man's got corn in his barn, then I'll let him tell me how to grow corn. Right? You know, a lot of preachers run around giving advice on churches, and they ain't got nobody in their church. And so if a man's got corn in his barn, then I'll say, all right, tell me how I grow corn. I'll listen to somebody who's doing something and is a success for the Lord. So tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to pray this week. We're going to work, and we're going to work. You bus workers in here tonight, you know, as you develop a relationship with your bus work kids, even y'all that work in junior church, Junior, Marvin, Linda, all y'all that work in junior church, did you know that bus workers and captains, you are almost their pastor. They look at you like you're their pastor. They look to you when somebody dies in the family, they call the bus captain. When somebody has trouble, they call the bus captain. I get about one call a week from one of our bus captains that say, we have a family on our bus route who can't pay their light bill or something like that. These people look to you. They look to you, and then you look to me, and then I look to the Lord, and that's the way it's supposed to be. They care about it. I'm glad. Listen, we ain't the biggest church in town yet, and we're not the greatest church in town by no means, but I'll tell you one thing, we've got a burden, and we can care about people. There's nothing can stop us from caring about boys and girls and reaching boys and girls for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you a story, and then we're going to pray. Dr. Wally Beebe there that you saw on that clip there, that very last one, he was down in Ruskin, Florida. We have this brother and his wife right here who actually used to go to that church, didn't you?
Baptist Church in West Hollywood was there. He was bus pastor there too.
Amen. That's the one y'all went to, right? In Florida. And this brother here used to know them, have him as his pastor. He's seen the buses, all the great work there that they did. And he told this story. I'll tell you this story, and then we're going to pray. He told this story. He said, one time he was preaching somewhere, and he said it was regular Sunday morning. They had a little boy by the name of Bobo. They called him Bobo. Just a little bitty boy, Bobo, come on the bus. And he come on one of the buses, and Bobo come that morning, and they said he sat back in the back of Junior Church, and the preacher preached that morning, and Bobo, he said, anybody want to get saved? And some of the kids come down and started getting saved here and there, and he said Bobo was too shy to come down the aisle, so he got down behind the pews back there, and he said he got saved like that, and asked the Lord to save him. Well, they didn't think nothing about it. He said they didn't think nothing about Bobo getting saved. You know, I had a little kid, I had one, you know, them old kids, half of them don't mean it. You know, you get that attitude sometimes. But you never know what's going on in a kid's heart. And you never know what God, the Holy Ghost, might be doing in a boy and girl's heart. Listen, y'all know Kathy Parker Hager, my dear friend Kathy? She got saved when she was like 5 years old. Been good all these years. I've heard of a bus kids getting saved when they're 6 and 7. And they wind up going to the mission field and preaching and everything. Well, Bobo was like that. And Dr. Beebe said he came in from preaching somewhere, and it was on a Wednesday evening. He said when he came in that evening, his pastor was going to be out of town that night, so he had to preach the Wednesday night service. He said when he came in that night, that evening, he was real tired for church Wednesday night, and he said his wife met him at the door and said, I got bad news, you better sit down. He said, I sat down, and he said, my wife told me, he said, they just called your daddy passed away. He said, my dad had died, and he said, it broke my heart. But he said, I had an obligation to preach that night. He said, I had to preach. He said, my pastor was gone. There was nobody else to do it. I had to go fulfill my responsibility. Dad just passed away. And he went on that night and preached that Wednesday night services. I mean, some of y'all, your fingernail goes off about that much, and you stay home. But anyway, he said, I went to church that night. He said, I preached that night. And he said, Bobo, come down to the altar. And he said, I was really, my heart was broke. My daddy died. He said, I wanted to get out there. He said, Bobo, come down to the altar. And he stood around there and he thought, Bobo, what do you want now? You always come to the altar about something. What's wrong? He really thought, I just need to get this kid out of the way. And he said, Bobo looked up there and he said, preacher, God called me to preach. And he said, Bobo, God called you to preach? He said, that's right. Well, he thought, yeah, whatever. You know, a little kid like that. He said, Bobo said, God called him to preach. Well, sure enough, he stayed right. He grew up, became a teenager. He got called to preach that night because Wally Beebe threw his outline away and just preached a little old sermon. And Bobo got called to preach. And Bobo went to a Christian college. And Bobo became a preacher. And Bobo went and started a church up in Michigan. And he said the church started growing. It was running 200 or 300 people. He said that church started running 200 or 300 people. He said, by the way, I didn't tell you who got Bobo to come to church to start with. A bus worker knocked on his door. And he said, no, I ain't going. And he knocked on the door again. He said, no, I ain't going. And the bus worker said, I tell you what I'll do. We're going to camp next week. If you'll come to church, I'll pay your way to camp. And that's what got Bobo to come to church. And Bobo come and got saved. Well, anyway, he's now a preacher. He pastors up in Michigan. He called Brother Beebe up. And he said, don't you come preach a revival for me. So Brother Beebe goes up and to preach a revival in Michigan for Bobo. And he said, Bobo, now a pastor. I don't think they call him Brother Bobo now. They probably call him by his real name. But he told him his story. He said, let me tell you a story, preacher. He said, we started running buses. He said, I started doing the same thing here that you taught me how to do there. He said, the buses come to my house. He said, the bus is knocked on my door. I don't see why people can't care about that. I don't see how that don't break our heart. We drive up and down the road in our fine cars. We live in our nice houses. Why, there's little kids going to hell. That could be my kid and your kid. God help us tonight to get a burden for them little boys and girls like that. Amen, folks, amen. Well, he said, Bobo said, we got a bus ministry started. And he said, we went visiting one day, and he said, we got these three little girls. He said, there's like stair steps, that high, that high, that high. Three little sisters. It's like them three that was here. They had three here this morning like that. One's that high, one's that high, one's that high. He said, we started bringing them sisters to church. He said, they all got saved in junior church. And he said, preacher, he said, they come to me the other Sunday. And he said, these three girls come to me, and they said, preacher, preacher. And he said, I've been over like that. And he said, one of them said, you tell him. No, you tell him. And they said, no, you tell him. And they said, here, we got something for you. And they gave him a little note. And the little note said, preacher, you're the best preacher in the whole world. And we love you. And thank you for letting the bus come to get us. We love our church. We love you. He said, he stuck that note in his pocket. He said, that night or the very next night, with that note still in his pocket, he said his phone rang. He is already in the bed. And somebody called him and said, is this preacher so-and-so? He said, we need you to come downtown here at such place of the city. He said, I'll be right down there. He said he jumped up and put them same pants back on and had that note in his pocket. He said he went down there and the fire chief met him and said, are you Pastor so-and-so? He said, yes, I am. He said, over here is the mom and daddy. He said, we didn't know who else to call. They said, these people went to your church. He said, mom and daddy is off partying or something more like that tonight. He said, their house caught on fire and burned all three of them little girls to death. He said, they burned. He said, he had to walk over their bodies of them three little girls and had that note in his pocket where they had said, you're the best preacher and we love our bus ministry and we love our church. And I'm telling you, Bobo said, he said, thank God. He said, I could do those funerals and say we knew those little girls and knew they had trusted Jesus. Let me tell you something, people. It's heaven and hell. It's not like, oh, you're silly. You going out on the bus. Well, are you retarded tonight? Are you just backslid? Do you have a brain in your head? Yes, of course. We'll run those buses and bring them boys and girls to church. He said, I don't believe it. You're in the wrong pew, buddy. You're in the wrong pew. I tell you what, if I was in heaven and I had a kid or a grandkid that lived in a trailer park, I'd say, Lord, will you please burden somebody's heart down there to go get my kids? I would, and you would too. And I'm going to tell you tonight, we've got an opportunity this Saturday. Kids will come for a fall festival that would never come any other time. First time we ever had one, we had a family come and the whole family got saved. Man got called to preach after he got saved. And he sure did over there in the old building years ago. Remember we had that goat? We had a goat and a bunch of stuff. Somebody brought some animals. And we had a little bitty goat. And you go out there and pet them. And I forgot what all we had. And the whole family come and seen that and got saved. And I'm going to tell you something this evening. I can just look around here. Kurt got saved because that girl put that note, little girl on the bus route. I don't know if that was y'all, juniors. And kept sliding that little note under that door. And he got saved. Amen? Did y'all know that Melanie once used to ride our buses to church? I've been marrying years and years and years ago. Did y'all know that others in here tonight was a bus kid or is a product of the bus ministry? Do y'all realize tonight there's people everywhere? You know, there's people everywhere that think churches don't care. That the devil's got them believing there ain't no real churches no more. The devil's tricked them and deceived them. And the little boys and girls are growing up. We had buses one night. And we had Bible school. And we had a bus. We had Bible school, so it was dark when they took them home. And the bus worker come back to me and told me, he said, Brother Danny, he said, you ain't going to believe what I just saw. And I said, what? They said, these little kids, it ain't no wonder their lives are so messed up. And I said, what? And he said, we pulled up in front of a house and said, when the door opened, there was a bunch of adults sitting around in that living room. And they said, there's all look like it's drunk. And there's a man on the coffee table dancing. And people all of that. And that's what that little kid went from Jesus loves me, Bible, into that. We used to pick up a little old girl. Every Sunday, she's about that tall. She's about 5 years old. That straggly little blonde hair. And sometimes she'd just come, she'd have on a t-shirt and her underwear. That's it, t-shirt and underwear. No shoes. No breakfast, no nothing. The bus worker go to the house, open the door, get her out. Mama laying there passed out, and put her on the bus. And they got some people at church to give her some clothes and shoes to put on that little old girl. And I know a lot of people say, well, them sorry people get theirself in that mess. And that's true, but it ain't them kids' fault. And God loves them. All right, I'm done. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Come on, Miss Desi.